evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, September 3rd, 2019. Hundreds of foreigners are hiding in South African cities to avoid xenophobic attacks.
Any other African country wherein fellow Africans are being ill-treated, we should condemn it, and we are confident that the government and the security services of the country are doing something to deal with this scourge.
And South Sudan government forces admit occupying hundreds of schools across the country.
Some were occupied so that they are protected against vandalism. Some were eventually occupied because they were being used as hideouts by the rebels during the war for them not to be used for subversive activities against the state.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Africa's opposition party, Economic Freedom Fighters, has condemned what it says are despicable attacks on foreigners by young South Africans. The party's reaction came after South African police arrested dozens of people suspected of attacking foreigners from African countries, looting their shops and burning vehicles and buildings. The EFF has since called on the government to deploy more security agents to ensure Africans are protected from perpetrators of the attacks. Godrich Gadri, Secretary General for the EFF, tells VOA's Peter Cloti there should be an investigation into the attacks to ensure those behind the violence are punished.
The Economic Freedom Fighters have long issued statement after statement over several years on the issue of xenophobia, and in particular, the killing of Africans by Africans, because Africa was a borderless continent. The borders were imposed to us by the imperialists and colonialists, and we shall continue to condemn such conduct by the communities against our fellow brothers and sisters from the other part of Africa.
Gary, some people are saying, although some dozens of people have been arrested, the government appeared not to do enough. What is the EFF's position to this?
The Economic Freedom Fighters is not in government, does not control any resources, does not have authority and control over the security services of the country. We call upon the government to ensure that it brings in the security forces an intelligence-driven approach to this conflict that we see happening in the country.
What do you say to critics who say that what is happening now makes South Africa look bad in the eyes of the rest of Africa, particularly when they said they helped, other African countries helped in the fight against apartheid in South Africa with the solidarity and support South Africa got? This is not supposed to be happening, they said.
It's not only about South Africa. Any other African country wherein fellow Africans are being ill-treated by their fellow Africans of that particular country, we should condemn it, and we should act against it. And we are confident that the government and the security services of the country are doing something to deal with this scourge.
So far, are you pleased with the response of the government to some of these attacks? Because this is not the first time it's happening. It's happened several times. Is the EFF pleased with the way the government or subsequent governments have handled this so far?
The government could have done much better, and it could do much better, because all what is needed is an intelligence-driven security services to deal with this issue of attacks of Africans against other Africans. We wish the government could do more.
What is the message of the EFF to those who have been attacked as well as those who are the masterminds behind these attacks?
Those who are masterminds behind the attacks, we can assure them that there is no hole. The security services will not sniff them out, and they will be found and they shall pay the price. To the victims of this violence, we share our pain with you, and hopefully our security services will protect them with their assets and their lives.
That's Godrich Gadi, Secretary General of the South Africa's opposition party, Economic Freedom Fighters. He spoke with my colleague Peter Cloti earlier today. The former leader of the former SPLM detainees says his new party, the Real SPLM, will work with other opposition political parties to address South Sudan's crisis. Pagana Mum says the leadership struggle within President Salva Kiir's ruling SPLM party has led South Sudan into a cycle of violence. Amum says South Sudan lacks honest leaders.
Myself and my colleagues in the leadership of SPLM acknowledge and accepted that we need to return to the vision of SPLM, an issue which President Kiir denied that there was no loss of vision. And also when we made self-criticism within the leadership and the need to correct our mistakes, the mistakes of the leadership, and return the SPLM back to its real vision, to its real agenda, that became a source of the crisis. You know that we were detained by President Kiir, falsely accusing us of staging a coup, but in actual fact, actually the coup was carried out by President Kiir to overthrow the SPLM.
What is the name of the unified group that signed the Declaration of Principle?
We have agreed to establish a unified National Patriotic Front of all the South Sudanese opposition movement.
So the group is called Unified National Patriotic Front.
Really, the issue is even not the name. We have also agreed to establish a leadership council that will be coordinating our efforts together.
This leadership council will be made up of how many people?
It will be made up of the leaders, of all the leaders of the constituting members organization.
And you are in this group representing which group?
I am representing the Real SPLM.
You are the leader of the former detainees?
No, we are not former detainees. You know that former detainees got divided when the Khartoum Peace Agreement was signed and when we disagreed on whether to endorse that peace agreement or not. And what happened was that a group of former political detainees decided to endorse the agreement and return to Juba. And they also decided to proceed to join the SPLM in government. I must actually say even that SPLM is not ruling. The rule is a dictatorship of an individual.
The Vice President Waniga is there, is a real SPLM. Col Manyang is there, is SPLM. President Kiir is there, is SPLM. And Daniel Awet and the rest
Nial
are still
and others.
There. Yeah.
But so, if you go and ask them whether the government that they have is an SPLM government and whether it is implementing the SPLM program and translating the vision and the manifesto of SPLM into policies that are being delivered through the government. If you ask them that, if they are honest, they will tell you no. What we have now is a failed state. And why is it a failed state? It is because they moved away from the vision of the SPLM, because they moved away from the SPLM strategic plan for the transition from war to peace. All this have been betrayed, and that is why we are now regrouping to mobilize ourselves and also to win new members who believe in this so that we can contribute to the task of state and nation building in South Sudan, and which is our immediate historical task as a generation.
Now, there is a government in South Sudan, and so you are regrouping people to build another state. You are just tiptoeing around the real issue. Are you calling for a regime change? Sounds like you're tiptoeing around the real issue.
There is no tiptoeing around the real issues. Our organization is a political organization aiming to realize this vision and make it come true.
How would you make it
and
come true?
Of course, we have to democratize the South Sudanese state. We have to bring about a just peace in South Sudan. We have to resolve all this crisis. This peace agreement is not working now. It is not being implemented now. And that was our position when we disagreed even within the SPLM FDs. We said that this agreement is an agreement that has been imposed on both the government and the opposition, particularly imposed on President Salva Kiir, because Sudan wanted to pursue their own interests to exploit South Sudan, to exploit and come and reoccupy even the oil fields and take a large share of the oil revenue, and also to grab a lot of the disputed territories in the border, including Abyei.
That's Pagana Mum, leader of a new group calling itself the Real SPLM. He was speaking with me from Hague, Netherlands, last week. UNICEF's child protection officer in South Sudan says there has been a critical lack of reporting on children's agency on the data of all schools attacked and occupied by army or armed groups in South Sudan due to poor roads and floods in some parts of the country. Onen Walter Solomon reports for VOA from Juba.
Rama Ansaraj, Save the Children's Country Director in South Sudan, said at a Juba workshop 2 weeks ago that education is under attack in the country since both government and opposition forces are turning schools into camps.
So this has a long-term impact on educational facilities becoming dysfunctional and also exposing children to further vulnerabilities. So protection of education and promoting and protecting the rights of children to education and to facilitate the continuation of education, even in situations within armed conflict, it is our collective responsibility.
Ansaraj said the number of children out of school is likely to increase to more than 2.4 million over the next 2 years. Abraham Makere is the teacher's professional development program manager for Save the Children's Rumbek Field Office.
The current conflict has actually affected more than 200 schools. And that's why in 2013 we have an estimated 1.2 million children said to be out of school. But last year it was 2.1. Therefore, instead of reducing, it is actually increasing, meaning that the attack on education that we are talking about is a reality.
On Tuesday, John Libby, UNICEF's chief child protection officer in South Sudan, says there's been critical lack of reporting by the Children's Agency on the data of all schools attacked and occupied by the army or armed groups in South Sudan due to poor roads and floods in some parts of the country that make roads impassable.
What we know and what is important is that 18 schools are actually occupied by armed forces. This figure has been transmitted, and even the Minister of Education has himself requested this figure and the location of the school so that he can advocate for the release of the school by armed forces. I have attended myself a release of school in Kochok in Basoda.
Makere sees the use of education facilities by soldiers and rebel groups as bases, barracks, or detention centers has caused urgent humanitarian needs for functioning schools.
We have a school called Aye. In Akut, we have a school called Mayong. We also have a school called Moper in those areas of Yarokan. We have more than 30 schools in Rumbek alone, both in Rumbek East and Rumbek Center, that are currently not operational. And education partners are forced to amalgamate these schools into already existing schools that are said to be protected, or that are also nearer to urban centers.
Between December 2018 and March 2019, Human Rights Watch reported that some armed forces attacked some schools in Ye River State. Suba Samuel Manasse, the National Salvation Front spokesman, denies the accusation but says government forces are occupying Morosak and Mukaya primary schools.
As the government soldiers, they are supposed to have barracks. They don't have these facilities, and because of that, they have to occupy these facilities for education to rest in. We still express our commitment to value education, to protect the educational sites, and to respect the learners, and also respect all those who are concerned. concern in promotion of education in our country.
South Sudan military spokesman Major General Lul Roy Kong admits government soldiers have occupied some schools, but insists they are not intentionally denying children their right to attend school.
Some were occupied so that they are protected against vandalism. Some were eventually occupied because they were being used as hideouts by the rebels during the war for them not to be used for subversive activities against the state. Some of them were recaptured from the rebels and occupied so that they are kept for national interest. The union centers that were occupied, they were given a list by citizens, and we have been vacating some of these from time to time.
Roy says the evacuation the army carried out was in July when soldiers left the Louis Girls School and the Lanya Market. On May 25th, the South Sudan government endorsed the Geneva Convention on Safe Schools Declaration, an intergovernmental political commitment that provides countries the opportunity to express support for protecting education from attack during times of armed conflicts. The importance of the continuation of education during war and the implementation of concrete measures to deter the military use of schools. For VOA News, I am Onan Walter Solomon in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look at polio outbreak in Ghana. That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what makes you laugh?
When I have freedom in my life, I can laugh.
These are funny things that normally a human being does, an animal does, anything that is funny.
What makes me laugh is something that makes me happy. Fun, comedy, anything that is funny makes me laugh.
It's according to the person you're talking with, it's according to the mood you wake up with. You can even laugh at something when it's very simple.
When someone cracks a joke, when I see something funny, yeah, that makes me laugh.
The times you went through with others, friends, or something like that. Okay, anything good that has ever happened to you in your life.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. And in our Tuesday Health segment, we take a look at polio cases in Ghana. The World Health Organization has confirmed an outbreak of polio in Ghana after a two-year-old girl tested positive for the disease. It is the first polio case in the country in more than a decade. Recently, the World Health Organization spokesperson for Global Polio Eradication Initiative, Oliver Christian, spoke with journalist Mavis Ochre about the outbreak and efforts to contain it.
Yes, we can confirm that. The child came down with the symptoms of polio. So the disease is in Ghana, and an outbreak response is being planned, led by the government to try to immunize as many children as possible and stop this outbreak again.
What might be the cause for the outbreak in Ghana, since for a decade there wasn't a single case recorded in Ghana?
So this really underscores the dangers and the risks associated with polio. Ghana had been polio-free, but it's a highly infectious disease, and it travels easily with population movements. And this particular strain of poliovirus, which is a very rare strain, is actually circulating in Nigeria. and it's been detected across West and Central Africa. We've seen the same virus in Cameroon, in Benin, in Niger, and now also in Ghana. And so with the large-scale population movements across West and Central Africa, the danger is that that diseases such as polio can rapidly spread, and that is how Ghana became reinfected.
What are you currently doing to help contain the outbreak in Ghana?
Sure. So our role, together with our partners, for example, at CDC, UNICEF, and Rotary, we support the government, the Ministry of Health, and the local public health authorities in implementing the outbreak response strategies. And there's numerous aspects to that. First and foremost, to conduct an immunization campaign to vaccinate children to boost immunity so that the poliovirus that's circulating doesn't find any unvaccinated or susceptible children and really has nowhere to hide anymore. And also strengthening disease surveillance to make sure that any more cases are rapidly detected and can be responded to.
But is there a risk of spread to other parts of the country?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we, you know, this is the same virus that, that spread from Nigeria all the way to Ghana, you know, via Benin. We've also seen it in other countries like Cameroon and Niger. So this is the risk that with population movements, the virus would be taken to other areas. Now, Ghana, the government has immediately responded and is doing all the right things in confirmation to this outbreak. And Ghana has relatively strong routine immunization services and relatively strong disease surveillance, which accounts for the fact that they were able to detect this virus very quickly. All that is kind of running in this favor, so we're confident that, that Ghana can rapidly stop this outbreak again, but the outbreak response needs to be fully implemented.
We know that this year the president has declared a year of return for people from the diaspora to come to Ghana. Should people take precautionary measures entering?
So what WHO in general recommends that if you're going to be traveling to any polio-infected country, that you make sure that you are fully vaccinated according to your national vaccination schedule. And if that includes potentially receiving a booster dose, then that would be our recommendation at that point.
That's Oliver Christian, WHO's technical director in Geneva. He was speaking with Mavis Autry. From Geneva, we come back to South Sudan, where the South Sudan Communication Authority says the country has its own internet domain, which is .ss. A technical affairs director at the institution says this development marks a huge milestone for the country. Up until now, all government institutions in South Sudan have been using Yahoo or Gmail. Viola Elias has details for VOA from Juba.
Ongwech Stephen Kwang, Technical Affairs Director at South Sudan Communication Authority, says the country has to migrate from the generic domain names such as .com, .net, .org to the country's top-level domain name of .ss. Kwang says the National Communication Authority is mandated by law to ensure that the public uses the .ss now that the website system is available. He says the next step will be to accredit companies that will resell domain names to all institutions, companies, and organizations.
So we'll accredit companies who are interested to become registrars or resellers for .ss domain name. And once they are accredited, they will be there available and they are the one to go around and sell .ss domain names for the public. So once these registrars are available, are registered, we'll list them into our websites, NCA websites, that these are accredited registrars to resell .ss domain name.
Danaya Dennis, a co-founder of Juba-based Alala Technology Company, says this new integration to the .ss domain will help the business community integrate with the global market.
It
technology is leading everything in the business. So your business, whether you sell things in the streets, it's very important that you have an online presence. So to me, it gives us an opportunity as well to reach out to the global market as entrepreneurs. And then secondly, not only that, it gives an identity. For example, if someone is searching for Alela Technologies, there could be Alela technology somewhere in another part of the world. So there is that identity that we sell to the outside world that people will trust.
Then he says, although obtaining the .SS domain name is a greater achievement for South Sudan, the benefits will not be instantaneous because South Sudan government restrict traders who to purchase items online from paying in foreign currency.
Though the other challenge is that still we have a problem with the online payment systems, but we are hoping that very soon we will have our banking systems integrated so that we'll be able to buy these domains. Anyone can buy anywhere using your mobile phone, our local currency. Because currently everything is restricted, like you have to have dollar account somewhere for you to buy things online.
On which Stephen says the National Communication Authority will regulate prices for the domain names to ensure local companies do not resell items at higher prices.
It will be now very cheap and very affordable and actually very easy to get, because now we'll have local companies who are offering these services. So they will come to the nearest company, maybe in Malikia or maybe in Juba. They can easily register and get domain names. So NCA will ensure that minimum price for getting the domain name is put in place.
Bosco Taban, assistant lecturer at the University of Juba's Department of Information Technology, says the new technological advancement will help motivate learners to develop their software in future.
For us, as an institution of learning and especially IT-based programs, we have two major things to do. We need to start developing our websites that are running. We need to migrate from .com, from .org, .net, and whatsoever, to .ss, to make it a national thing of South Sudan, for teaching and even for business, because sometimes also we support users or people who develop the website.
Stephen says after the country code top-level domain name is integrated into the global database, it will be easy for the +211 country code number to be integrated. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
And that's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Kelele by Hardlife Avenue. We have been listening to Hardlife Avenue with the song Kelele. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thank you for listening, and remember to join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.